If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Hegley. I am here with Scott Beatty. He is going to talk about the Illini baseball team, which has had a heck of a turnaround and is in first place in the Big Ten Conference with 2 weekends to go, 6 games. Can they win the whole thing? Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly 2-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in 6 states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Have you ever tried to buy gold and silver and felt like you were talking to a used car salesman? That's because the precious metals industry is like the Wild West. Salesmen can say pretty much anything or make any promise they want without repercussion. But Genesis Gold Group is different. They're a faith-driven Christian precious metals company and believe in educating their customers, not pressuring them for a quick sale. Genesis Gold Group focuses on customer service, not sleazy marketing. Genesis Gold Group is named after the first book of the Bible for a reason. Proper stewardship of wealth is their specialty. Find out why they've earned a 5 out of 5 rating through the Better Business Bureau and how they can help you secure your wealth or retirement through physical precious metals. Call right now to learn more.
800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. That's 800-238-3714.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. As promised, this is Mike Kegley, and we got a treat today. Scott Beatty, who is the man who is the voice of Illinois baseball, is going to be here and talk to us about this Illini baseball team that has had an incredible transformation this season. Scott, thanks for coming on this year, or for this program. And Can you talk to us a little bit about, first off, what it's been like to cover this team? It started off with some challenges and then becomes one of the great hitting teams and really has played quite well through the majority of the Big Ten season.
Well, first off, thanks, Mike, for having me. It's always great to visit with my friends on the Illini Guys, and I know I get to visit with you and your colleagues on WDWS. So to be able to go the other way around is kind of fun. This has been fun for sure. It's always great when you're a broadcaster for the team to see them win, see them have success, and it makes your job more enjoyable. And I'd say the job is enjoyable, win or lose, but this has been fun. But it's also been, frankly, neat and I think fulfilling to see, because I've seen the longer journey here. This is now my 5th season as the designated play-by-play guy for the team. So my first season was 2020, and we all know what happened there, with the season being cut 13 games into it. And then it's had to been kind of a climb out from underneath all of that, frankly, for Big Ten baseball. But having watched the journey for this, for what the coaching staff has gone through, and several of the players that have been here for the duration of that, I really feel great for them. And it's a long season. Every season's long, and it gets longer if you're not having the success you want. So I'm just really happy for them. There is a part of me that just kind of has a little bit of extra pride for them, just because of, you see what goes on sometimes behind the scenes, and for them to finally get some fruit out of it in a way they really hope they would. That's neat.
Yeah. And it's interesting to me, because the team started off and the offense wasn't reliable early in the season, but it wasn't to the level. And then all of a sudden you start looking, you know, in the last few weeks, and some of these scores look like football games. You know, I mean, there is, and home runs are flying out left and right. It, you know, as you watch this, first off, could you see like the seeds being planted that was going to yield this, or were you watching this going, oh my gosh, this is amazing? How did you view this evolution of this team?
I'm not completely surprised, and that's a fun thing for sports media people to say, because then they like to sound like they knew what was coming.
Exactly.
So I guess take that for what you will, but I did think the lineup would be solid, mostly because I knew the pieces that were coming back, and that's just been the MO for Dan Hartlib and Adam Crist for years, to have some thump in the lineup. Now, did I think they would repeat what they did last year with the home runs? I guess I didn't think about it, but maybe not. But the complete 1 through 9 aspect of this lineup hitting-wise, where there really isn't a weak spot right now, there's probably a few spots where pitchers are a little more afraid and are a little more careful. But there's not really a break in that lineup right now for opposing pitchers. And that's been neat to see, because last year, the Illini hit a lot of home runs.
Right.
But, A, there weren't as many guys on base when they happened. And it seemed to be, we're going to get the home run and we're not going to get anything else. That's maybe an exaggeration, but it kind of felt like that was how things played out. So it was, you know, here comes so-and-so to the plate, and you think it's going to be a walk, strikeout, or a home run.
Dave there's Kingman.
There's more diversity in the lineup. There's guys that can do different things, and the seniors have stepped up in huge ways. They're having career years, and that's just all come together. There is also, I should say, there is a tendency for the northern schools, and Illinois is no exception, for the bats to warm up as the weather does.
Right.
And that's a little bit of what's happened. And they played an extraordinarily tough non-conference schedule. I mean, you had Wake Forest and Tennessee in there. They were both Omaha teams. You had Indiana State is always a midweek, and they're coming off a super regional. The Coastal Carolina is always in a super regional hosting kind of talk.
Yeah.
There's just a number of teams that were coming off really good years the year before. And I credit Dan Hartlib, he didn't back away, but the problem can be is when you're 5-10, you can throw in the towel.
Right.
And this team didn't do that.
Is that a function of, you've had a chance to watch these guys. Is there a group of players that you think lead the way towards keeping that fight going? Because we see it in other sports, keeping the culture from year to year is a little bit of a challenge. How does that shape up for the baseball team?
Yeah, I really think the centerpiece, I use the word spine of the field, right up the middle. It has, it'll start with the middle infielders. Cal Hazen and Brody Harding are probably the two most unsung players on this team right now. They're having career years offensively, and that has, I think, has been the difference in the lineup. Given that, I expected more of what we're already getting from the other pieces.
Right.
So now if up the middle, and then they're undersung on their defense, the highlight plays and the nifty double plays are cool and should be celebrated. But what you don't see is they make all the other plays, the routine plays. And those guys are vacuum cleaners and they're seniors. And I think they have a little bit of a, let's just go win. This is it. Let's go win. And who cares about anything else? So they're not being stat rats. They're just going after it. Then behind the plate, Cam Janik is a culture guy as a catcher, and he's your top hitter. And he rarely strikes out. Mike, he has 9 strikeouts this season.
Wow, yeah.
9 strikeouts. He went almost 80 plate appearances in a row in one stretch without a strikeout. And he's as tough as nails behind the plate. And Jacob Schroeder is your second catcher, and he demands a spot in the lineup because his bat is so good and so powerful. And he serves as your second catcher. And so those guys have been tremendous. Then you start a freshman center fielder who's a bona fide leadoff hitter, which I think has been missing for a couple of years in the lineup. He's a firecracker. He's just a total gamer. He's from Canada, Cameron Chialoy. Well, he gets hit by a pitch a few weeks ago and has been out since with a problem. And in comes Connor Milton. And there cannot be a better story for Illinois this year than Connor Milton, who everybody in Illinois Athletics cheers for because his father, Howard, is part of the administration. Exactly. So they all know him. And he grew up here in Champaign, so there's a lot of community people that know him. They remember him when he was playing Little League around Champaign-Urbana. He goes from trying to fight for a spot to start and, frankly, not hitting that well in his first 3 years to becoming a sensational story. He hits his first career home run as a collegiate against Northern Illinois. And honestly, I wasn't at that game because I was covering with softball. But my thought was, okay, and no disrespect to Northern Illinois, but cool. He finally got a home run and it came against Northern Illinois. I did not expect what has followed and him being one of the top hitters on this team in this stretch. My hat's off to him and how, and I have seen, like, he is Mr. Positivity. He is Mr. Ultra Teammate, encourages the guys. He's always ready to go. And he finally got his moment, and he is, maybe it's the pressure with an injury that he just knows he has a spot. I don't know, but he also knows, like, hey, there's nothing after this. This is my last year of playing college baseball. So why not go win instead of worrying about anything else? And let's just go play hard and see what happens.
Yeah, that's an amazing story, because you just don't see a turnaround like that in terms of, especially the, it was just like a switch went on with the power. Like, well, you're a home run hitter now. And it just fantastic from that standpoint. This team's going, you know, right now, got 2 weekends of ball left in the Big Ten schedule. Got a 13-5 record. So they're sitting on top of the standings. And, you know, Iowa comes to town just on Friday the 10th. So tomorrow, for folks who want opportunity to go see it, and it's Food Truck Friday. And anytime you hear the word food truck, I wish I was in Champaign, because I'd probably be there to be a part of that. And then, you know, then next weekend at Purdue. So this team is in striking distance of a Big Ten title. Did you see them playing at that level at the start of the year? And have you watched them to the point to where, you know, instead of, you know, coming back and being kind of the comeback team, now they feel like, you know, we're the favorites and we're going to go take it?
No, I didn't. I wondered if the team was being a little bit undersold when the preseason predictions came out, only because if you look at the track record of Dan Hartlib, he's in his 19th season. Yep. Go look at the, and I don't have it in front of me. I think there's maybe once or twice where he has finished below 500 in an overall record. He's been a model of consistency, and I've also seen Dan Hartlib teams even if they start slow, get better, with pretty rare exception. So when they weren't picked in the upper tier of the conference, I thought, hey, the lineup's going to be good. I didn't know necessarily be this good, but right. I knew the lineup would be pretty solid, and I knew there would be solid defense out there because there always is with a Dan Hartland roster. The question is always going to be pitching, right? And I mentioned the spine, and I should give my props to Jack Crowder, who I think has finally put a lot of things together in his senior season, and he's another one where playing professional baseball is a very real thing for him, but he is kind of letting it all go and just trying to be that guy for the team. But the question is always going to be, how is the pitching staff? And when you lose essentially your weekend rotation from last year,
right?
There's just always questions about it, how they will perform. Well, this pitching staff has raised its floor. And even if there's not guys that are vying for like pitcher of the year type candidates, it's been a little more even across the board, and they've put themselves in a place where, hey, they may give up more runs than you would like, but your offense is doing a lot. But they have taken some of that pressure off the offense by not being so wildly inconsistent as we've seen in the last couple of years. So ERA is not the only stat to look at. You'd like that to be under six. Frankly, you'd like it to be under five. In college baseball, a team ERA under five, especially in the Big Ten and the Northern schools, to me is pretty good. Right. So I'd like it to be better, but at the same time, if you can kind of hold down your opponent in college baseball to seven or six runs, most nights this offense is going to do enough for you. I'd like it to where they could get to where you'd feel comfortable about a 5-3 ball game.
Right.
But whatever, a W is a W. And here I am being a long-winded broadcaster, and I forgot what your question was.
So. No, I think you hit it. You hit it. And I think the bottom line is going into this weekend with Iowa, it's also nice to get the Big Ten Network's going to be broadcasting the game on Mother's Day. So it you know, you get some more eyes on the Illini that way. Obviously folks who want to watch Illinois, Big Ten Plus does a great job of getting the baseball games covered. But you get, like I said, on Sunday, you get a chance to watch this. What do you see with Iowa coming into town this weekend? Any thoughts on that particular opponent?
Well, Iowa's frontline rotation guys are really good. Marcus Morgan, Brody Brecht, who is the headliner because he can throw 100 miles an hour. He's the one that was a two-sport athlete for Iowa. I believe he was a wide receiver. And he said, I'm going to focus solely on baseball, given that I can throw it by almost everybody.
And Brian Ferentz was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. I don't know if that had something to do with it. There's plenty of game right now where Illinois has outscored Iowa's offense, ba-doom-ching, in football.
Yeah.
And then you have Cade Obermueller, who's a really good left-hander. So if you can get past those guys, if you can, I kind of think about a survive and advance into the fifth, sixth, seventh inning, then I think you have a real shot against their bullpen that just hasn't been as solid as their starting rotation. Brody Brecht has really come into form. He was wobbly, as many of these high velocity guys are at the college level, where he may get 15 strikeouts, but it's going to take everything he has. And then he definitely shortens the game. Problem is if he's getting them into the seventh, eighth inning and is just absolutely dealing, it could be tough. So I think it's going to be a real battle because you have one of the best offenses in the league and that has been really good at not swinging at pitches out of the zone against a really good frontline Iowa rotation. And, you know, I don't think Illinois has quite had a series like what's coming up. Now you add on top of that, Mike, that Iowa has already played 21 games in the Big Ten. So they're the one team that won't have a series next weekend, after this coming weekend, because they'll have completed their schedule. There's an odd number of teams with Wisconsin not having baseball. So somebody's got to be out of conference. So Iowa's going to be coming in going like, okay, we have to do everything we can to win all three of these games, because then we have to sit and watch what everyone else does for the remainder of the year. And Iowa's not entirely out of it. I think they're a game and a half technically out of first place at 13-8. So they have the same number of wins as Illinois. They just have three more losses than Illinois, and Illinois is in first place. So yeah, that's a game and a half. So they're going to be coming in thinking about not just, we got to win one game. We got to sweep if we want a shot to win the league.
Right. And Illinois has that motivation to say, look, we can put them out of our misery if we could take them down.
Let's eliminate somebody out of this race. That's what Illinois needs to do this weekend.
Yes, and then that would set the table for Purdue the final weekend on the road. And Purdue, of course, one of three teams at 12-6. So realistically, with the teams bunched up like this, the team that has a good two weekends could find themselves all by themselves with a Big Ten championship. I mean, it's truly go out and grab it and take the title if you want it.
Yeah, and Illinois may have the toughest of all the teams in the mix in terms of the strength of opponent.
Yeah.
They have two teams that are right here in the top of the mix. Almost everybody else has one team that's towards the top. I'm hoping that I would think if Illinois could go 4-2, at least in this final stretch, that they have a real shot to come out on top. But Illinois is in a place where, well, of course, they're going to think game to game. And
right, exactly. One at a time.
Yeah, and they're going to say, why not go 6-0 too? But that's actually the solution, is just win every game left, and you win the league. Right. And that's a nice spot to be in, and you have so-called everything. You can control everything. There's no need to scoreboard watch. I'm going to. Fans are going to. But if Illinois just wins from here on out.
Just hit the way they've been hitting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it would be Illinois' first Big Ten title since what, 2015. So that would be just fantastic for the baseball program to have that.
Yeah. Occur. And 2015 was such a wonderful year, and just everything came together. But that's 9 years ago now.
Yeah.
And you don't want to let that get too far into the memory and distance from a Big Ten title. You had, I think, a team that should have been in the NCAA in 2018. They did make it in 2019, and you lost a good group of core players there to the draft or to graduation after 19. And then you get into 2020, and everything comes to a screeching halt, and then all of a sudden everything feels behind. In 2021, the Big Ten elected conference only play for the Diamond Sports and for a number of other sports. And it did felt, and I'm not saying that was wrong decision. I'm just saying that is what it is. Because of that, it felt like the Big Ten kind of fell behind a little bit, some of the other programs in the country, and they've been trying to rebound from that. And, you know, pitching development became an issue, and now here we are, where Illinois, it feels like, hey, this has turned a corner to come back and say, hey, Illinois is what Illinois has been and can continue to be now in this new post-pandemic era of college baseball.
Yeah, and it is a lot of fun here. Is there any one moment this season so far that stands out to you? Is, you know, like I said, you have a unique view because you're calling the games. You're sitting there and getting a chance to kind of take it as a, you know, analyzing what's going on, as well as being, you know, a fan enjoying it. Is there any moment that this team, you know, that stands out to you as the most significant?
Well, two. One is a very happy, and one's a solemn note. I guess I'll start with the solemn, and that's the story of pitching coach Mark Allen, who I've gotten to know over the last few years as the pitching coach. And you folks may know that he's been diagnosed with cancer and he's taken a medical leave. And just to see how the team responded to that in terms of like how much he has meant to players and to the program in ways you didn't realize until he's stepped aside. And I'm not talking necessarily about the actual pitching coaching.
Right, exactly.
You know, interim coach Cam Hill has filled in admirably and knows what he's doing. He made it to the big leagues. But I'm just talking more about you realize, oh, this coach had a huge impact on these guys' career and their development as players and as persons. And you know, obviously didn't know that was coming and continue to pray and hope the best for Mark. But that's been a non-insignificant, that's been right. A very significant part of this season, even though you don't necessarily see it on the field. The happy moment where I just go, oh, wow, is Connor Milton. And I already alluded to it, but that is just one of those sports, man. Aren't they great? I mean, just here's a kid who has been basically a reserve and trying to fight for at-bats. He's always been a really great defender and he's really fast. But he gets his moment here and he meets it. And you're just going, wow. I mean, and that's just the stuff of, and everything else that goes on in the world of college athletics, you go, oh yeah, that's at the core of why we love sports. And in particular, why I love baseball. It's just to see somebody have success like that and see some hard work and long hours pay off. So that's been the big moment. Probably, I guess in terms of the season itself, the thing that when I went, huh, was when they were on the road at Indiana, and that was in the middle of March, and I was tasked at the time with helping the radio crew out for basketball.
Yep.
So I'm in a, I think that was the first round that weekend. I'm in Omaha, or maybe I was in Boston, I don't remember, and I'm keeping an eye on this, and all of a sudden Illinois figured out how to win 2 out of 3 against Indiana in a team that I personally thought would win the league, and they could still win the league. And they do it on the road in a place they hardly ever win. Yep. And I just went, whoa, hey, we got something here. Like, and I think that series actually turned the whole season, because I think it told the clubhouse, the players to each other, to show them, hey, we can compete. We're going to be in this thing. It was the first series of the year in the Big Ten race and everyone's 0-0. And it was just sort of like this fresh start. And here we go. And then they rolled through Penn State. They took 2 or 3 on the road against Minnesota, would have liked all three, but that was okay. Was unchallenged by Northwestern and would have liked one more at Maryland, really could have gotten one more at Maryland. And then had a wobble against Ohio State before taking the final two. So all of a sudden it's like this team, I think, goes to the ballpark every day, having fun and believing they can win. But the two big moments to me, one sad is what's going on for Mark Allen, and then Connor Milton's story has been huge.
Perfect. And again, as a reminder to folks, Friday, 6 p.m. against Iowa, Food Truck Friday. I'm not certain who all is going to be there, but trust me, if I was closer, I would be there, because that's the type of thing that draws me out.
You can also use the Beatty discount. To get tickets. If you just mention my name or this podcast or the broadcasts, you get free admission to the ballpark.
Wow, that is great. What a deal we've put together.
You also get free admission if you don't mention it, because admission to every game is free. But
yes, I like it better when, you know what, just mention Eye on the Illini, Scott Beatty, you get in free.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell them that. And of course, then Saturday, 3 p.m., and that's senior day. So that's good. And then, of course, Sunday, Mother's Day, the Bark in the Park. And that will, for Illini fans who may not be able to get out to Champaign, you can watch that on the Big Ten Network, 3 p.m., and all those times I said are central. So big weekend for Illini baseball. Now, the other question I wanted to ask you, just as the man who's there at WDWS and dealing with Illini sports every day of your work life, what do you think about this transfer portal and the NIL opportunities that abound for college athletes nowadays?
See, I put together a show every day where I'm trying to get other people that know what they're talking about on. And now you're asking me like I know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know how you feel. I know that.
I I'm a person that probably likes systems and order and can go, I know how to run this through a grid and understand what's going on that way. And it's really hard to do that right now. So my feeling is I'm fine with players utilizing their name, image, and likeness to make money off themselves. I guess I'm fine too with the transfer portal. I think it's a little bit ridiculous how many times they want to transfer. But it doesn't bother me so much the why we're doing it as to what it's become. And there's just it's just this constant changing. The goalposts are always moving. And even Brad Underwood said this week, the transfer portal this year is different than last year's portal, will be different than next year's portal. And there's not a sense that there's some sort of even playing field. Maybe there's never been that way in college sports, and we just wanted to naively think that there was, but it just seems like right now with how things are structured, that there's just no way to walk in anymore and say we have an even playing field, at least in certain sports, with how different programs can resource what they want to do. So you look at the Ohio States of the world, of Alabama's or whomever, and I think there's some teams and programs that go, how do we even try to keep up with that right now? So yeah, that's what I feel like. I think there just needs to be some more order and parameters put in place. The difference between right now college athletics and pro sports is pro sports, everybody knows what they're dealing with, and theoretically everyone's on the same page.
They have rules.
They have rules, and people are supposed to follow those rules. And you have salary caps and contracts and all that kind of thing. I don't really bemoan the coaches too much, because the coaches have always been used to like total control, and now they've lost that. And that's been hard for them. But there's certain coaches that have gone, okay, I'm going to roll with this. I think Brad Underwood's done that admirably. But I'm not really saying, because I deserve as a fan to know that Ty Rogers is going to be here for 4 years. I get it. Ty Rogers is an adult and he has certain freedoms and entitlements that he can have. I think it's just more for the stability of everything to know that how do we get it to where, you know what you're agreeing to up front, and people can't just cut and run at the last moment without a consequence.
Yeah. Jerry Seinfeld had a part of his routine when the salary cap came into the NFL and, so many players were switching teams. He goes, I think I'm cheering for laundry because I'm cheering for a jersey. And that, I will say as a fan, I'm going to go a little bit over the top here, but we've been robbed of the journey. And the journey is watching a kid come in that maybe he didn't live up to expectations his freshman year, and maybe the sophomore year was he started to play a little bit better, and then the junior year, and then you have that senior year where all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, Robert Archibald, oh my gosh, look how good he is. And that journey that we got to watch George Montgomery go from just a guy who you're like, is this a linebacker playing basketball, to a key part of a team, as a junior and senior year. That part of the journey seems to be over for the vast majority of players. And I also think the balancing of the roster is going to be very interesting, because if you don't play freshmen and sophomores enough, particularly in basketball, you're almost forced to play in the portal every year, because high school players are going to say, well, if he's just going to recruit over me in the portal, I'm going to just go somewhere else, which is fine. But if you're building through the portal, that's the highest cost possible because it's on the open market. And I think finding that balance, and I think Underwood's, trying to figure out where that is. I don't know if there's an answer for every school that's the same. I do think the NIL makes it a little more transparent when you hear that the Buckeyes have a $13 million salary for their football team, or budget, I should say, budget for their football team. I'm not certain that from what I've seen over my 50 years that, you know, you heard stories of, you know, in the, especially in the Southeast, you know, cars going to recruits and boxes of money and Nike, you know, boxes to other recruits in basketball. I don't know that it's ever been fair. I think Josh tipped off 3 years ago when he talked about it being very similar to the European soccer rules. And I, the more I read on this and the more I listen to people talk, I think after all these court cases get settled, I think we will move from scholar athletes to employee athletes, at least for the two big revenue sports. And the way women's basketball is going, it may end up being there. And even you look at the ratings, even for women's volleyball starting to become a bigger sport. And we may have a few sports that are in a little bit different class. I don't know. It's hard to tell right now, but I think if you had employee athletes and then you could do some sort of labor agreement, then you could get back to like, okay, you can transfer one time and you don't have to sit out. If you transfer after that, you have to sit out a year. I think it's crazy, and maybe they'll never get there, but at least with the labor agreement, you can set some rules. But we'll see. Maybe I'll be wrong.
Well, you mentioned the guys that we get to watch grow. I mean, that's the story that I saw with,
yes,
Connor Milton.
Exactly.
This year. And I think that's one of the reasons Coleman Hawkins is, I've said this a couple of times. I mean, Coleman Hawkins was a program guy. Sounds like there's a non-zero chance that he comes back to college basketball. But you know, he put in his time here in Illinois and stuck it through. And you had the Trent Frazier's and the DeMonte Williams before that. And I think Ty Rogers has that chance now to be the program guy, the keeper of the culture, and somebody you get to watch grow and mature. And frankly, I think Ty Rogers is a pretty mature kid anyway.
Yep.
So yeah, I lament. Yeah, I as a fan, how can you not want that? On the flip side, you look at what Brad Underwood's putting together. I guarantee you that State Farm Center is going to be sold out again almost every night, with the chance of what this basketball team has to be. And I don't know about you, but before 3 or 4 days ago, I had no idea who Tomislav Ivicic was. And most people who will be in the State Farm Center didn't know who he was, but they'll be cheering pretty loud for him because he's going to have the Illinois jersey on.
Exactly.
And if they do it right, like a Marcus Damask, like a Terrence Shannon, his issues aside this year, like, they can endear themselves to the fan base.
Yeah, I agree totally. And I just wonder if that journey is just going to be reserved for a very select few, because you've got to be good enough to get on the court, you know, to be able there to stay. You know, I do think that the biggest challenge, and I think this is where coaches are really going to have to be able to assess talent, is they have to figure out, okay, how good would Gibbs Lawhorn be if he had started all year at ISU or Southern Illinois? Maybe he's 18 points a game there, and maybe everybody's excited about him if he transfers in, versus people going, well, I hope he can take the step. And I think, again, you have to determine, like, is my player sitting on the bench who's behind some very talented people might be very good? We found that with Podziemski a few years ago. You know, you sit on the Illinois bench, you could still be a pretty darn good player. Just happen to have guys that at that point in their careers are a little better than you. And those are the things that happen. It's like I said, I do want the players. I go back to my childhood. I'm obviously older than you are. And we always wondered, you know, why couldn't Bernie Kosar or Brian Bosworth or, you know, Deion Sanders, why couldn't they make some money off of their jersey when the 44 got sold in Oklahoma? Shouldn't Brian Bosworth, couldn't he got $5 per jersey? And the NCAA could have avoided all of this if they would have just been a little bit forward thinking.
But, yep. And so here we are. And it's going to take, I agree with Matt Brown of Extra Points MB, that it's probably going to take federal legislation because there's just too much inconsistency from state to state. And at some point, Title IX will impact all this, and that's federal rules, and you have to get that sorted out. So we're in for a long slog of, you know, so for a guy like me, it's like, I just want to know what the system is here and how to expect this or that. And that's just not going to happen. So if you can come to peace with that, enjoy the ride. Cause I, like I said, I still think for the most part, people are going to be pretty entertained and intrigued by their team if they're good, like Illinois basketball, even though most of the people on the roster this year, if you're a casual fan, you didn't even know who they were. I think people knew Kylan Boswell. He's from Champaign.
Right.
But there's a lot of names, at least me, and I'm paid to sort of pay attention to this stuff. I'm like, I didn't know who that guy was. So
I'm not into
recruiting like some of you guys are, but you know.
Yeah, Morez is the one that I think Illini fans are going to love. 6'10". Kid's got some skills, and you can watch him. I've watched him over the course of 3 years, and you see him putting pieces onto his game. This is not a fair comparison, but it's a little bit like Io, because every year Io would come, you'd be like, oh, he can do that this year. And he has added something to his game. Morez in high school is very similar to that, but he plays with the intensity of Ty Rogers. And at 6'10", 230 pounds, and he hustles like Ty. I think Illini fans are going to love him. And hopefully there'll be a way that maybe those two are program guys that help keep the culture going. It'll be exciting to see. Well, yeah. Scott, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to talk about Illini baseball. Fantastic. We'll probably get to you, especially if they can find a way to win the Big Ten, and maybe the postseason will have some surprises along the way. But we do appreciate you coming on, and you know, good luck to the Illini this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be a fun series against Iowa. And here's hoping, too, that next weekend in West Lafayette, not too far away from Champaign-Urbana or the Chicago area, that the Illini could be playing for a championship, and it may come down to them in Purdue.
That would be fantastic. And nothing like winning a Big Ten title on the road. So that would be awesome.
That'd be a little extra sweet.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And folks, we will be right back after these messages.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know, be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting. IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams. And we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-485-8801. 800-485-8801. That's 800-485-8801.
Thanks so much to Scott Beatty for coming on today. I know he had an extremely busy day, found a way to give us some time. That is greatly appreciated. Folks, get out and watch the games this weekend against Iowa. Iowa has that formidable pitching staff. Anybody who can get out and cheer the Illini on, you can take advantage of the Beatty Eye on the Illini discount and get in for free. That is awesome. Get there and do that if you can. And if you can't, on Sunday, the Big Ten Network will have the game on, so go ahead and watch it there. We really appreciate you coming and listening to this. Go Illini!
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.